NJBPU head running against the clock, written by Hugh Morley and read by an automated voice. Terry N. Own, New Jersey. Christine Golsadovi, president of the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities, has a lot to do and little time to do it in. Her boss, Governor Phil Murphy, or D, leaves office at the start of 2026 and is not shelving his ambitious clean energy plans, even if the Trump administration would like him to. Murphy wants more electric vehicles on the road, a surge in solar, plentiful storage in place to make up for the vagaries of sun and wind-powered generation, and a steady increase of buildings fitted with electric heat and hot water systems where gas-powered facilities once would have done the job. The governor also has not given up on his vigorous efforts to jumpstart the state's offshore wind or OSW sector, though Trump rising costs and tortured supply chains may have pushed that beyond his reach. A year is a long time, Golsadovi said in an interview with Net Zero Insider on her agency's energy priorities in this unpredictable era. And I would say we're running for the tape, as they say. We're not slowing down. The BPU chief also is charged with keeping the cost to ratepayers manageable, a task made much trickier by an expected 20% hike to the average electricity bill in June as a result of a basic generation services auction in February. Some of that hike is driven by the state's electricity supply shortfall, which is widely expected to get worse as data centers come online in the state and EV adoption rises. New Jersey, the energy importer, is one of the 13 states served by PJM. Golsadovi is convinced cheap, clean energy is the answer to many of these problems, a position that in part reflects her early career. Her resume includes a stint as an organizing representative for the Sierra Club, working on OSW issues, after which she became legislative and political director for Planned Parenthood. She became chief of staff to former BPU President Joseph Fiordaliso and then cabinet secretary for Murphy, who first placed Golsadovi on the BPU and then tapped her to become agency head when Fiordaliso died unexpectedly in September 2023. So, she knows the view from inside and outside the state's halls of power. And she plans to do what she can to make sure Murphy gets the maximum impact from the waning days of his administration. The big priority is getting as much clean energy onto the grid as possible, she said. Our goal here is always to do everything that we do with an affordability mindset, and so ensuring that clean energy is helping to drive down prices and making clean energy available to as many people as possible is going to be the number one priority. Unfortunately, a lot of people have intentionally or otherwise confused clean energy with the increase in capacity prices, Golsadovi said. In fact, we know that without solar and storage and onshore wind in other states in the PJM region, those prices would be even higher. And so we really need to get as much clean energy out of the PJM queue and onto the grid as quickly as possible to help provide stabilization to long-term prices. Juggling priorities. Net Zero Insider interviewed Golsadovi days after the BPU released a draft of the New Jersey's next energy master plan. It predicts the state will face a 66% hike in electricity use by 2050 under the current policies and forecast triple-digit growth if the state follows any of three more aggressive electrification policies proposed in the plan. Net Zero Insider, what are the BPU's energy priorities for the next year? Christine Golsadovi, we know that we have demand increases being projected, primarily resulting from data centers in the PJM region, not necessarily even in New Jersey at this point. And we know that clean energy has helped to minimize the price increases by getting more clean energy. And we want to continue to do that. Solar and storage are the fastest resources to get onto the grid and to get through PJM, and so we want to get as much as possible onto the grid. If Terrace 1 or 2, a big one would be getting the storage incentive program open. We are going to move forward with our competitive solar solicitation, our next community solar allocation working toward our 2025 energy efficiency program, known as Triennium 3. NZI, a common assessment of the state's problems is that supply is limited, and PJM often is blamed. What is BPU doing to try to address the problems at PJM? CGS, a couple of things. Supply is really important, but I think it's also very important to understand that it's not just the supply that is driving up prices. The PJM market rules, which the BPU has been advocating changes for, and the PJM queue, which, when Joe Fiordaliso was president, we were pushing PJM to expedite their queue reform even before we saw these auction prices that were as high as they are. Those are two related, but not exactly the same, issues that are driving up prices. One is the market rules, which we have been pushing PJM on and continue to push PJM on and have gotten some changes as directed by FERC. We have filed numerous comments on these market rule issues, on the queue reform issues. We supported Governor Josh Shapiro's lawsuit around the cap. NZI, what PJM rules are at issue? CGS, the or PJM auction for July of last year set prices for the energy year that is coming up and implicated our own auction. It's a projection for how much capacity is going to be needed a year in advance, and those projections changed dramatically from 2022 to 2024. PJM's own projections for what we were going to need in the upcoming 5 years, in terms of capacity driven by some retirements of some generation, or planned retirements of some generation, and an increase in demand. Based on that process, bid prices in July were 10 times those of the previous year, she said. And so we want to make sure, at minimum, that the auction prices and the auction reflect the real projected supply and demand. We want to make sure that all available generation is being counted so that that doesn't have an artificial scarcity effect on the market. So all the available renewables are bidding into the market and are counted, making sure that peaker plants are counted as available generation. Paying for infrastructure. NZI, what is the future for New Jersey's wind sector? EPA just reversed the permits on the Atlantic Shores project, which is New Jersey's most advanced wind project and had final approval from the federal government. Is the wind sector dormant until Trump decides it's not? Or, assuming the EPA reversal is overcome, could Atlantic Shores move ahead anyway? CGS, we have three awarded projects still in New Jersey, including Atlantic Shores and Attentive Energy 2 and Invenergy, a joint venture with EnergyRE, known as Leading Light Wind. But there is supposedly an executive report coming out at some point from the Trump administration, I would assume over the summer. That will be a deciding factor for how these projects can move forward, not just in New Jersey. All the developers are waiting to see how this executive report plays out, whether it's going to be narrow or broad. We certainly hope that the president, over the next several months, will see the importance of getting offshore wind online. When we think about needing generation, and I think the president has noted, we know we need large-scale generation to help keep prices stabilized over time. When we think about the projects that could connect to the grid, even in this PJM region, in the medium term, 5 to 7 years, those offshore wind are the projects. NZI, what is the status of the pre-build project to develop the infrastructure to tie offshore projects to the grid? CGS, it's still pending. It's an open solicitation. NZI, what are the state's plans for upgrading infrastructure? CGS, for things like solar and storage and transportation electrification, we have our grid modernization proceeding. We put together several working groups, and we're finalizing the changes to the interconnection rules from those. That's really about efficiency, alignment amongst the utilities, so that there is a very clear process for how projects can get into the grid, and whether there is available capacity. Doing hosting capacity maps so that developers can know where there is capacity for projects to come online. And we're already working on recommendations from our second set of grid modernization rules. NZI, their funding in place for grid upgrades. CGS, that will be part of the conversation for the second grid modernization rules. How should funding and funding needs be allocated? But infrastructure costs money. If we are expanding economic development in parts of the state like Cumberland County, where they traditionally didn't have the same kind of capacity needs for the grid as they might now have, whether it's data center or storage or solar, they need new infrastructure to support economic development. So, we have to figure out a way that allocates the costs of needing new infrastructure, whether it's for load growth related to data centers, whether it's for solar interconnecting. EV adoption rate slows. NZI, do you think the state is doing enough to promote EV adoption, or does there need to be a change of course? CGS, all of the EVs on the road didn't get incentives from the state, obviously. The incentives through the BPU and the EV charging infrastructure, through the Department of Environmental Protection, were really about helping to spur the market. And I think that we have been successful in doing that. Now we're focusing a lot of our incentives on income-eligible drivers, so that the people who really need the incentive to make the switch can do that. But certainly there is uncertainty at the federal level with how there is going to be federal support and tax incentives for EVs. So we're trying to do as much as we can at the state level to make sure that market continues. NZI, you were a grassroots activist early in your career. What does that bring to your job as BPU president? CGS, that's such an interesting question. When I was an organizer at the Sierra Club, I actually organized around issues that this department was handling and was advocating for progress, at that time on the Offshore Wind Economic Development Act. I think that has given me a really clear view of stakeholder interests and what is important. Coming into the administration and coming into government from that kind of background has been a valuable experience for me to have because of being able to identify what things matter to different stakeholders and also being able to communicate with stakeholders. the importance of balancing interests and making sure that everyone is heard and getting feedback from different industries and parties. I feel like it's one of the most valuable experiences that I've had to bring to this role,